our focus today on being focusing on being missionaries, we have a guest speaker, and before he comes up, I want to have you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We'll start there. Maybe you can just start in Genesis, end in Revelation, cover everything in between. That'd be great in our next half hour. But if we can't do that, we certainly will get a good message. I know I've heard it this morning in the first service, and you'll be blessed by it. In a moment, we're going to hear from Dr. David Winner. David is a professor teaching at Azusa Pacific Online University, as well as Liberty Seminary and Northampton Community College and Regent University, all of those schools, and has his PhD in organizational leadership, has served as a pastor, knows the church, knows the life of ministry and the heartbeat of God and all of that. And we are delighted to have you with us this morning, Dave. Let's read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." It's so great to have David Winner with us today, as well as his wife Dina and family. Welcome, and glad to have you in church as well with us. Dave, why don't you come on up? Let's pray together to prepare our hearts to receive the message Dave has for us. Father in heaven, we come ready to listen, eager to have you instruct our minds and move our hearts to be your followers and your missionaries. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. All right, we should check my mic. Good. I want to thank Pastor Dana for letting me be here this morning, and I really want to thank Tom and Nora for organizing a fabulous conference. Great job. Just wonderful. And thank you to the worship team. I started praying about this message a few months ago, and I love when God pulls together music that fits where he's putting on my heart. So with that, would you pray with me? Lord, use these words, use this time, use me, speak through me, Lord, and may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we have to start at the beginning, all right? So we started in Genesis, but it doesn't just start at Genesis. We have to go all the way to the very beginning, because Genesis is the foundational book. Especially the first 11 chapters are foundational for what God is doing and wants to do in our world today. So you get to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and you have creation of the universe, creation of the earth, creation of man and woman. And God says, it is very good. But then chapter 3 comes. It's the fall of humankind into sin. This is the reason we have death, destruction, and evil. Is because Adam and Eve chose to rebel, to not trust the promises of God, and they rejected God. And that's the world we live in today. Genesis 4, we see that played out in Cain and Abel, where relationships are broken and a brother kills a brother. And then the earth becomes so polluted with sin. In chapter 6 through 10, you get God calling Noah, telling him to build a boat, because he's going to flood the planet, break apart the continent, do amazing things to our geology and creation, but he's going to wipe out sin. But the Bible is very clear that sin is not out there, sin is in here. So Noah gets off the boat, he grows a vineyard, he makes some wine, and he gets drunk. Because sin was never all the way out there. It's in here. And then you have chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, where the people have joined together and again are trying to become and make themselves God. And God shows up and says, well, no, we can't have this happen again. So let's confuse their languages. Let's disperse them all over the world, speaking different language, make them different people groups. And into this, it seems like God is changing plans, but he's had this planned all along. He decides to call a people, a person, to start a family group, to be his holy representatives on earth. to be his holy nation, to be his royal people. So he calls Abraham and he says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. That is the start and a foundational verse for being missional. That we have a God that calls people to go. And to, as God says, I'm going to bless you so you can bless others. But today I want to focus on two aspects of the story. And they're aspects that we don't often think about when we think of this verse. One is I just want to focus on how God called Abram, before he changed his name to Abraham, to leave. Think about what it meant to leave. Abraham had to leave his country, so he was leaving security, he was leaving land, he was leaving protection. He had to leave his family, had to leave his clan, had to leave relationships. He had to leave his father's house, so he was leaving his inheritance behind. In some ways, he left his name behind. So God is asking Abraham to sacrifice things that were very important to someone in that day, to leave his people and go and start over and start new. That would be scary of anyone at any age when God calls you to go. But God is also asking him to trust him because he doesn't tell him where he's going. He just says, do you trust me? And Abraham has no idea what this calling means. He has no idea what he's going to face. We do, because scripture is very clear at recording the highs and the lows in life. So in chapter 12, verse 10, a severe famine hits the land. And all of a sudden, he has to flee to Egypt. In chapter 13, verse 7, there's conflict between his clan and Lot's clan, his nephew. And there's conflict between them. Chapter 16, we learn that Sarah, his wife, is barren, that they can't have children. Yet God has promised this. And so they try to take things into their own hands, which we do that too. All right, we know God's promised this blessing to us. I can't have a kid. Here, sleep with my maid. That will make everything better. Didn't work out that way. And then God, when he finally does have a son by Sarah, God asks him to sacrifice that son in Genesis chapter 2. Now that's a different sermon for another day because there's power in that testing. But imagine what Abraham's going, wait a minute, God, no, time out here, all right? You said you were going to bless me to be a blessing. Why have I had all these difficulties? Why have all these things happened? And now you're telling me to go kill my son? No, 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 time out. That's not how things are. God, why are you doing these things to me? And I say that's recorded in scripture I imagine he's thinking of that because of the difficulties recorded in scripture, because we're the same way. We live in the same broken world. We face the same struggles. But when bad things happen, isn't one of the first questions we ask is, God, why me? God, where are you? God, why? You said being a Christian, I would be blessed. I heard people talk about it. Why is this hard? So we're left with the why question. So to tell you a little bit more about my life, I grew up in a non-Christian family. Somehow, when I was 5 or 6, I have one image of the church, and it's a flannel graph. I don't know why. That's all I remember from my church childhood, is being in a church basement and a flannel graph. But my parents had a falling out with the church. And my dad was a stubborn man. And he said, fine, we will never go to church again. So I grew up, my teenage years, not going to church, even on Christmas and Easter. It wasn't there. My mom stayed spiritual, but we didn't know God. And then at 15, my dad dies by committing suicide. Let me tell you, that messes you up a little bit. So I went into some dark places as a teenager. And then just recently, my mom died last week, 2 weeks ago. And the last few years of her life was hard. She was paralyzed from the waist down when she was 69. She then had a stroke 6 months later where we didn't even think she was going to make it. And then she had an infection in her jaw that ate away her bone. So they put in a titanium plate and it ate away her bone to where she couldn't eat solid food for the last few years of her life. And we sit there and say, why? Why, God? And it's not just in my family, it's in yours too. We have friends who have been divorced or are getting divorced or are separated. We know there's abuse. There's physical abuse. There's mental abuse. There's sexual abuse. People have been abused in this world. And we're left asking, why, God, why? People commit adultery. They throw their marriages away. We have addictions. Multiple addictions. Multiple types of addictions. We had a good friend, my wife's really good friend, drink herself to death. 45 years old. Gone. Left two kids behind. Not even to include the illnesses. The scary word of cancer. And some are barren like Sarah. So we're left asking this why question. God, you said I would be blessed if I gave my life to you. But it seems more like things have gotten worse. Sometimes we can feel like Job. And just everything's falling apart. And it's not even the big thing. Sometimes it's a little thing. Sometimes it's your car breaking. Sometimes it's your dishwasher breaking. Sometimes it's just the little things in life. And you're like, God, I don't have time to handle this. This was me in January. All right, we had our dishwasher break. We were washing dishes for a family of five plus one, so there were six of us. Treadmill breaks, my car breaks. And I got to the point where I said to my wife, I said, honey, if one more thing happens, I'm getting in bed and that's it, I'm not coming out. Like, I'm not getting up again. And my wife is so kind and wise. She goes, you'll get over it, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have so little margin right now. Because that's what it feels like. So it can be the little things or it can be the big things. But we hit this and we're going, wait a minute. God said I was to be blessed, to be a blessing. But let me say this. This is not the end of the story. Sin does not win. God wants to take our brokenness. He wants to take our pain, both things that were done to us and things that we've done through our own rebellion. And he wants to heal it. He wants to transform it. And God wants to use you. So when the going gets tough, God wants you to run to him. God wants to carry you when you can't get out of bed. God wants to weep with you. We often joke that that's the shortest verse in the Bible, but I think it's one of the deepest verses in the Bible because you have Jesus, the Son of God, weeping with Mary and Martha at the death of their brother. Don't miss that. God will weep with you. He will be with you in your pain, but he doesn't leave you in your pain. Allow me to be so bold that God even wants to redeem that pain and use it. And I get that from two scriptures in Romans. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, or you could say suffering. For we know that they help develop our endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And with this hope, we will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. And because he's given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So God wants to use the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of life to strengthen you and shape your character, to shape your heart, to give you a heart of compassion. And in Romans 8:18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory we will reveal to us later. He will reveal to us later. For all of creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. Genesis chapter 3. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when we will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. All right, I need a drink. Sorry. And God doesn't just want to change our character with broken suffering and trials. He wants to comfort us in that so that we can comfort others. This, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, is some of the most powerful verses for understanding God's heart for brokenness. It starts off, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He gives comfort to us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When we are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and your salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. And then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. So God takes this whole vision of pain, because God doesn't see pain, suffering, trials the same way we see it. We often see them as punishment. We often see them as God's absence. God doesn't see them. God says, hey, this transforms you. This molds your character to make you more like Jesus. And as you've experienced that comforting, he turns the whole thing upside down and says, now you can go comfort others through your pain. You can comfort others the way you have been comforted. God doesn't even see death the same way. We see death as the end. God sees death as a door. Because if we know Jesus, it's a door into eternal life with him. So God doesn't see the things we see. He sees them as an opportunity for us to be his hands and feet in the world. So God uses suffering to transform our character and help us focus on heaven. God heals our brokenness so he can use it to bless the world through us. God heals our brokenness, our trials, our suffering, so we can bless our neighbors, so we can love our neighbors. So again, going back through some of those issues, 14 months to the day after my dad's death, I became a Christian. I don't know if I would have become a Christian if I wouldn't have went through my dad's death. 2 years after my mom is paralyzed, she gave her life to Jesus at age 71. I don't know if she would have got saved without it. And let me encourage you, I'd prayed for her for 25 years. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for the people you love. Even in our own church that have been started in our church, we have a woman who went through a divorce, who God's tapped on the shoulder and said, okay, you've had some healing. Now go lead a divorce recovery group to help others. There was a single mom in our church who raised two kids for a little bit and then she got married. And after she got through some healing, God tapped her on the shoulder and said, okay, why don't you lead a single mom's group now and help others? A family was brought out of addiction. And after they got healed and got solid, God taps them on the shoulder and says, why don't you lead a celebrate recovery group and help others find freedom in Christ from their addictions? We actually have a former gang member, right? He's Hispanic. He is awesome. His name is Jose. And he was the gang's treasurer, all right, up in Brooklyn, New York. God saves him and taps him on the shoulder and says, okay, you know that love of money you had? I'm now going to have you run a financial ministry. And he leads one of the financial ministries of our church, helping other people free debt, taking what he was doing when he was lost and using it to bless God's people. We have another guy who I got to know really well. He had some issues with his dad, so he always had an interest in men's ministry. And so he started leading our men's ministry and helping other guys find peace with their father issues, their father wounds. But he didn't stop there. God tapped him on the shoulder and said, you know what? You work with a lot of men who have dad issues. So he started a men's fraternity group at his work. They would meet at 5:30 in the morning at a Denny's, and he took these men that started off not being Christians, but became Christians by the end, through a men's fraternity class for 4 years, helping men find peace in Jesus and peace with their dad and peace as a man of knowing their role in this world. We have a mom and a dad in our church who buried a 20-year-old daughter. And after they found healing, God tapped him on the shoulder and said, how about you lead a grief share group? And they won every year a grief share for people who have lost loved ones, to help others' ones be comforted by the God that comforted them. So this is how God works. He takes beauty from ashes. He takes broken things and makes them new. But we sometimes think broken things mean something's wrong. It does mean something's wrong. This world is not how God created it. That's Genesis 3. But it doesn't mean God is absent from those. God wants to use those. But the other thing we see in this thing with Abraham is that God didn't just use the struggles that would come Abraham's way. God used Abraham's passions. They used Abraham's personality. He used Abraham's faith and obedience, which is what he's commended for in Scripture. He trusted God. He knew God was true, and so he trusted him. So when he has that conflict with Lot, God used Abraham's compassion to find peace there. God had Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah that it wouldn't be destroyed, because he was using his faith, his heart, his prayer. God used all of Abraham, and God wants to use all of us. He's created us with our personality. He's created us with our passions. He's created us with our experiences. And he says, I want to use all that. I've blessed you with those. Use them to bless others. So again, going back, well, with me, because I had a difficult teenage years, but then I got saved and I had a loving church that loved me, had a youth group, had a youth pastor that invested in me, I said, I want to give that back. And so I went and studied youth ministry. And then I was a pastor for 20 years, focused on youth and young adults. And then God said, okay, now you're going to teach, where I still get to focus on youth and young adults. Because that's how God's created me. Those are my passions. Which, I forgot to mention this beginning. I am a teacher, so there are pens. If God is stirring anything in you today, feel free to write it down. Areas of brokenness, especially because we're going to pray for them later. Areas of where you are. Or, as we're now, areas of passions. Areas of things that you're excited about. Jot it down so that you don't lose that moment. Our youth pastor, this happened at our church before I got there, has a passion for basketball. Loved basketball. So talks with the church they pray about, and they decide to start an upwards group, a basketball outreach ministry. And so January and February is our upwards month, and we have 1,000 people come through our church for their kids to watch their kids play basketball from first grade through sixth grade and be cheerleaders. All because they wanted to use his passions to reach others. And more than 50% are from outside the community. That's actually how we landed at that church, is because our son played upwards there. A man in our church has a passion to help single moms, and he's been financially blessed. So every month, he just takes a check to write for the single moms ministry. And God's lifted up lots of people that God has blessed you financially. And he's saying, good, I want to use that to fund ministries. I know we heard here, someone here had a passion to help the homeless. So they started the Caring Hands, I always mess it up, the Caring Hands ministry. We'll go there. And look what you did. You're making shoes out of denim. You're going down and serving because God tapped someone on the shoulder and said, hey, I want to use your passions. I want to use who you are. We have a former pastor that when he was pastor at our church, got a vision to help orphans in Kenya. So he went down there and he started a ministry that provides housing, food, and schooling. And then he came home to the church and said, hey, by the way, I have 20 orphans down there. Who wants to adopt them? All you have to do is pay $45 a month, and we'll take care of their schooling, their housing, their food, everything. And the church signed up. And I think it's up to over 120 orphans now in Kenya are being cared for by our church members. They write them letters because the pastor heard a tapping on the shoulder. We even have some ex-police officers in our church who became concerned about church safety, because they heard about violence in other churches. And so they went to some other ministries where some police officers have started to, how can we protect churches? How can we protect churches? So now we have a church safety ministry at our church to think, how can we keep the flock of God safe on Sunday morning? We have another family in our church whose children have disability issues. So God taps them on the shoulder and said, get involved with Johnny and Friends. And the dad now leads a once a month dad's group for other dads who are parents of disability children. So they can come together and talk about the difficulties and the joys, and they can pray and support each other. So you get the idea. God wants to use all of you to love your neighbors. He wants to use your brokenness and your passions. He wants all of you. And it's not always starting a new ministry. I highlight that because that's what's easy to think about. But sometimes it's as simple as getting to know the people around you. How well do you know the people you work with? Do you have coffee with them? Do you talk with them? Do you know where their struggles are? Because if you start talking with people and just loving them, pretty soon you're going to hear the places they're broken. And you're going to go, oh, I went through something similar. Let me tell you how God comforted me. And you're going to have these touch points. Your neighbors, how well do you know your neighbors? Have you invited your neighbors into your home? Have you been in their homes? Do you know what makes them stay up at night worrying? Do you know what they cry about? That's as simple as that. And your family system. Often the most difficult place, Jesus knew this, to minister to. But how are you caring for your family system? How are you loving them? So you love them and you look for where God is already at work in their lives. Do they have brokenness? Love them. Are they experiencing great joy? Love them. This is what it means to be missional. Being a missionary isn't difficult. It's a mindset that says, I have been blessed both through my pain and through my passions. And I want to use that blessing to catch the people around me. And so it's having eyes wide open to say, God, who can I love? Who can I bless? Where is there an injustice that I can fix? Where is there something where we look at this world and say, this is not how God designed it? And the church can come in and fix it. The church can come and do this. Isn't that what it means when Jesus says this is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. In order to be a blessing to others, you first must love Jesus. That is your priority. And you need to allow Jesus to have healed your heart, to have healed your soul, and to have transformed your mind. Because see, a lot of us have faulty thinking. We have thinking that comes with us from our past, from our family system, where people have said, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're bad. We've had bad things happen to us. It says we are dirty, that we aren't clean. And those voices stay in our head, and that's why Scripture says renew your mind. Because the Bible says you are a new creation. You are now a child of God. You are deeply loved. You are daughters and sons of the King. And then the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This is what it means to be a blessing. Loving God and loving your neighbor. So one final story, and then I'm going to go into a time of prayer. My dad died, I told you. So about 20 years later, somewhere around there, my dad died in September. It's often a sad month for me, but sometimes I forget why. Because as it's gotten further along, I forget that that's the month my dad died. And so it was September, and I got a call. I was in a church as a youth pastor by a mom. And she had kids in the youth group. And so I was like, oh, are the kids okay? You know, is everything all right? And she goes, no, actually, it's my dad. He's in the hospital. He just attempted suicide. And she didn't know my story. She didn't know that that was part of who I am. And so she said, would you go visit him? And I went, okay. And it was funny because as I was driving there, God starts whispering in my ear, tell him your story. And then it dawned on me, wow, it's September. It's like the 20th anniversary of my dad's death right around there. And God's using that to tell someone else. So I met with him and we started talking. And I got to tell him all the things my dad missed. And I just told him what it was like on this side. And I just left it there. And I prayed with him. And then I left. And the mom called me a little bit later and said, I don't know what you talked about, but all of a sudden, he's taking his medicine because he was bipolar. And he wants to be involved in our family. And he wants to be around. That's God taking your brokenness and how he comforts you and turning it around to comfort others. That's all it is. So this morning, I want to make sure we have time to pray. So as I was praying this, I kind of think of four categories of people I covered in the sermon that I want to make sure I pray for. You can be in more than one category too. All right? But I just want to make time. So get comfortable, because it's a little bit of a long, you know, it's going to be a few minutes of prayer. Close your eyes. And the first group I really want to lift up are those that are broken, suffering, that are struggling. Those that are maybe struggling with illness, with something in the pain, some part of your life that is broken. And you know you can't comfort others until God has comforted you. So you just need the comfort of God today. That's all you need. You just are at the point where you're like, Lord, I'm still in the middle of it. I need to come weep with me. I need you to come be with me. If that's you, just shoot up your hand, because I want to pray for you right now. Just give me a little wave so I know, and I will just pray that God comforts you right now. Lord, thank you for these hands and for the ones that just raised their hand in their heart. May you touch them deeply, like you touch us when we weep. May you weep with them. May they feel your spirit wrap around them. Lord, if they need healing, may you heal them, both physical healing and emotional healing, Lord. May you place your spirit upon them and give them peace to whisper in their ear saying, we got this. Lord, encourage them today that what they are facing is not the end of the story. You are still at work. So Lord, bless them deeply in their brokenness, and may they meet you there and see you in a whole new way. Amen. And now there are some of you that have already been broken, but God's already healed. God's already comforted. And you have some distance between that. But you hear God whispering. You hear God tapping you on the shoulder. And you know he wants to use that to comfort others. You hear him saying, it's time. It's time. You don't know what it looks like yet. You don't have to. But are you willing to say this morning, God, use my brokenness to bless someone else? If so, just put your hand up so I can pray for you. Just if you're willing to let God use you and your brokenness to bless someone else. Lord, you see the hands and you see the hearts. Take your people and comfort them. But Lord, start putting visions in their head of what this could look like. Who do they need to ask out for coffee? Who do they need to hug? Who do they need to write a letter to, Lord? Use their brokenness to comfort others, Lord. Help them to have eyes to see and ears to hear when someone has a similar situation, Lord. They are surrendering to you, Lord. Bless them deeply. Bless them as you take them on a journey of walking with you, much like you did with Abraham. When you said, leave and go, may they be able to trust and obey you with whatever comes next. Thank you, Jesus, for their willingness to say yes. And the third group I kind of thought about are those that you may not have the brokenness right now, but you have passions. You have dreams. You know God has gifted you with abilities, and you know God might want to use them. God's been tapping you on your shoulder and say, yeah, you know that passion you have? Yeah, I want to use it. I have some ideas for that. And so this morning, if you are just willing to say, God, take my gifts, my abilities, my passion, and use them to bless others, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. If you're just rising to take your blessings of God and pour them out on others, Lord, you see the hands and you know the hearts. Lord, these are people you've given great passions and desires and dreams, and sometimes they're so overwhelming we don't know what the next step is. May you give them the next step. May you give them a people that you would attract like-minded people, so because you never sent us out to serve alone. You always said, take two or three, because then you were there. May they find that two or three, Lord. But Lord, just I celebrate their willingness to say, God, use me to be a missionary, to be a good neighbor, to love people, Lord. May you just bless them, bless their families, bless their lives, Lord, as they just want to pour those blessings out onto others. And then the last group, either you may be sitting here today and you may realize, gosh, this guy's talking a lot about God. He's actually crying a little. But I don't think I know Jesus that way. I don't think I've really given my life to Jesus. And you may have said a prayer a while ago, but it doesn't feel like you're really growing. Or maybe you're sitting there saying, I want a God who heals me. I want to serve this Jesus that's going to come and walk with me through pain, help make sense of my brokenness and my past. And you might even have a little pounding in your heart because you know God's saying, come to me. Because it's time for you to do as Galatians 3 says, in the same way Abraham believed God. So God declared him righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are all those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would accept Gentiles, that's us, on this basis of their faith. God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And so it is. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessings Abraham received because of his faith. So today, if you just feel like God's wanting you to surrender to him, just shoot your hand up so I can pray with you and have you pray. Yes, there are a few. So pray with me and kind of repeat these words after me. God, you are real, and I surrender to you. Take my life, my brokenness, and my passions. I give them to you. Heal me, Lord. Come and sit on the throne of my heart and make me your child. I surrender to you. Amen. So God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. So go be a blessing.